The Tan and J-Man Show is live on the air on ISC Sports Network. Me here, the J-Man in the southwest suburbs of Chicago, and Tan the Man, T-Dog, Tanner Lee in Fort Wayne, Indiana. How you doing tonight there, Tan the Man?
Doing good, J-Man. What an intro. What an intro. You know, I was thinking today, this is our 397th episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. In all different kind of intros we've tried to do over the years.
Yeah.
There's been some doozies.
Yeah, we try to switch it up a little bit every week. We usually fail, though. And again, the first 50 or so episodes, it would have taken us an hour just to get the thing started.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. But I'm doing good. And the Tan J-Man Show, Tan and J-Man Show Nation, jeez, I can't talk today, knows I'm a big pro wrestling fan. So I was pretty pumped today that Indianapolis is getting the three biggest WWE wrestling events in the span of the next 7 years coming to Indianapolis. So
it'll be at Lucas Oil.
Yep. Royal Rumble in February this coming year. Then SummerSlam and WrestleMania. It doesn't say when, it's just sometime in the next 7 years. I know the next few are booked out, but pretty cool. I don't think Indianapolis has ever had I know they've never had a Royal Rumble. They had a WrestleMania, but in the early 1990s. And then they had SummerSlam, but back then it was at Gainbridge. It wasn't quite as big of an event as it is now because they're running these big stadium shows for their four big pay-per-views. So, I had seen the rumors last week. Monday Night Raw is in Indianapolis tonight. So the news broke, and then Paul Levesque, Triple H, was on the Pat McAfee show today while he was in Indianapolis, and it was just the timing. I thought it was coming, but still cool. It's good because, you know, as well as I know, Indianapolis does great hosting big events, and I don't think people outside of Indiana and the Midwest realize how good they are at hosting big events.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that. They killed it during the Super Bowl. They've had it there twice, right? Two times? Just
Super Bowl's only once, 46, Giants and Patriots.
I mean, everyone raves about how they host the NFL Combine, and no one wants it to leave. The Final Four, people down, I mean, they rave about how the Final Four is hosted down there.
Yeah, they get it once every 5 years for a reason. I mean,
So, I mean, it's obviously a big basketball state, but Circle Center down there, everything's connected. You take, you know, the little sky bridges over to a hotel, over to the convention center, over to, you know, it's just very easy to access everything. And it's a big city, but it does kind of have a small town feel that nothing's too far out. Where, I mean, you go to these massive, I mean, Chicago would be an absolute pain if they had it at Soldier Field sometime. I mean, some of these NFL stadiums aren't even in the big cities. They're way out in the boonies.
Right. And given that a couple of their big events, like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, it can be cold outside, so they want to run it indoors. I mean, they've done it outside before, but they did it in Philadelphia last year. It was a two-night event. The first night, it was cold. The fans were complaining how cold it was. So don't think they'll be doing an East Coast outside show for a while. Like Super Bowl 48. April. Super Bowl 48. I try to forget it. That's a Bronco fan. But remember, they did that in New York. It was pretty miserable for fans. So
yeah, I don't think they'll ever do that again.
I don't either. But with all that said, I am doing well. And I'm a bigger Dave Grohl fan today, too, and Foo Fighters fan than I have been in a while. So
yeah, Dave Grohl is kind of
going to get us canceled, aren't I?
Yeah, he made a lot of people mad. One particular fan base mad, for those who haven't seen. Just Google Dave Grohl, G-R-O-H-L.
I just like to, stir the pot, J-Man. I like to stir the pot. That's what I do.
This is a sports show, but Travis Kelce did join his girlfriend on stage and did a little dance, a little jig.
Yes, he did.
I'm sick of it.
I've been sick of it for a while. I was sick of Travis before he started
dating. You had very good reason, though.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, dancing with Tom Cruise in the luxury box on the field.
Yep. So, but we do have some stuff to talk about tonight that is sports related, of course, since we are a sports podcast. And one of those things includes the NBA draft coming up Wednesday night, the probably least hyped NBA draft I can ever remember.
I agree.
But with that said, my birdie or bogey question I brought tonight is NBA draft related. Let me bring it up so I don't botch this. There are six NBA teams, I should say, in the NBA that have never held the number one overall draft pick. You get four right, I'll give you a par.
Okay.
You get five. You get five or six right. Of course, six. Even if you get five right, I'll give you a birdie.
Deal.
Yep. I think it's a pretty tough one. It's a pretty tough one.
Yeah. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. On June 26th, they have a paint-your-own pottery swap-a-dish with Elemental Art Studio at Arlington Public House at 6 p.m. on June 26th. Bring a friend or friends and swap your dish of choice to create a collaborative masterpiece. Dinner and drinks are available for purchase, $45 a piece. And June 23rd was yesterday. It is pizza night. Every Monday night is now pizza night. They have dill pickle. They have supreme cheese, pepperoni, and margarita pizza every Monday night at Arlington Public House. Go for some good za.
Thad Mooney on Facebook says, protect Dave at all costs.
Yeah. Foo Fighters.
He's an 18-time Grammy Award winner. I did not know that until yesterday.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with Nirvana's old drummer. I'm just saying.
No, it's interesting because I think certain individuals on this fan base have no idea of the background of Dave and that he was with Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. And that's another group or a fan base, you know, the alternative, the punk, 90s punk. I don't think you want to get into it with them either. So
No. Of course, all those guys are about 50, 60 that's years true. Old now, so, and they're fighting 13 to 22-year-olds.
And older that
and older these that days, yeah.
Might act 13 in the wise words of one of our friends who I will not name for his sake on the podcast. So, I'm hungry right now. The Zaw sounds so good right now. Yeah. Even though I just had pizza over the weekend, but I can eat pizza almost every day. My acid reflex wouldn't be happy with me, but.
No.
Besides that, I enjoy it.
I've reached the age where I'm popping preemptive Tums just to prevent it at all costs. I had some buffalo chicken pizza over the weekend. That was pretty good. Man. I could eat pizza about every night. I'll be honest with you. And never get sick of it. So, do you want to stick with the NBA here real quick and talk about the, as you said, the least hyped draft? I think
Unless you're a LeBron James fan, then you're hyped up for Bronny.
You're hyped up, and there's also the scenario where he could go undrafted, which would be the funniest thing. I don't think he will, because some team will take him in the hopes of, hey, maybe we can get LeBron. Hopefully it's like Charlotte Hornets or something. They take Bronny. Least hyped. I mean, you have two Frenchmen that are projected to go 1 and 2. You have Zachary. I'm not even going to try his last name. R-I-S-A-C-H-E-R. Rissacher. And then you have Alex Saar, who Alex Saar is legitimately very good, as all these guys are. But it's just not a very hyped draft because you didn't have those one-and-dones like you usually do in the college game. And it usually is, the Kentucky guys. And so I don't know if the draft or if the recruiting class or the class of 2023 just wasn't very good. Here we are. The draft is pretty bad. So,
well, we also had a lot of good college upperclassmen decide to come back for one more year. It seemed
that also is true. And we could see this more and more with, NIL and transfer portal and all of that. Maybe with the COVID seniors being officially done now, we'll start to see guys jump more. instead of getting that one extra payday. But yeah, I mean, I've barely heard anyone talk about the NBA draft unless it's about Bronny James.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, of course, being a Purdue fan, there's been a lot of talk about Zach Edey, where he could potentially go. But other than that, not much. Not much on my end. I did see a wild rumor today. The wildest rumor surrounding Zach Edey today, or that I've heard, came out today. And it was some account on X, so take it for what it's worth. I don't know how reliable they are. But I guess Portland's real interested in him, and maybe even as high as 7.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That does make the draft significantly more interesting, with it being this week. Is some guys could go way higher than you're anticipating. It could be more trades. Yep. I know your Chicago Bulls made a trade over the weekend, or maybe it was last week. They traded Alex Caruso to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Josh Giddey, and a lot of people were not giddy about it. It sounds like they turned down the 13th overall pick from Sacramento for Alex Caruso, which just kind of tells you, because usually if you get a lottery pick, you're going to take it.
Right. I compare this year's draft to the Giannis's draft. Mm-hmm. You know, he ended up going 15th, and it was easily the best player in that draft. So there's definitely going to be some diamonds in the rough here. But I was laughing. I think it was Tom Fornelli, Illinois guy, Illinois fan, who does a good job with college sports podcasts, especially on college football. And he said, "Can't wait to see who comes out of this draft as the NBA's sixth man, future sixth man."
I saw that as well.
Like, that's a pretty good description.
That is. I mean, you have guys like, obviously you have, you know, the Reed Shepherds, who were projected potential top five pick out of Kentucky. Great shooter. Averaged 12 points a game his freshman year at Kentucky. Did average 4.5 assists, but he did shoot 52% from three. Then you have Donovan Klingon, who is kind of an old school kind of shot blocking, rebounding sort of big, who's 7'2". He's projected top five pick. Obviously, Edey is old school, and he's projected top 20 pick or so. Stephon Castle, who's a freshman who had a good year. Solid year at Connecticut. Dalton Connect, yeah, he's a senior who put up 22 points a game. He's projected in potential top 10. Then you have some G League guys like Ron Holland and Matas Buzelis, who's shot 27% from three in the G League last year. He's projected top 10 pick. So it's just weak. I mean, you have Cody Williams out of Colorado, who averaged 12 points and 3 rebounds as a freshman last year. Projected lottery pick. I know you can't scout the stat line, but it just seems like in years past you had these freshmen come in and put up 18 to 20 a game. They're surefire future studs, and you just don't have a future stud in this draft.
Nope. I'd be a lot more invested if the Sonics had a number one pick. Maybe in the future.
Expansion draft.
Yeah, even when they get that, they'll probably get like the number two pick in the Vegas team. Assuming the Vegas gets a team, they'll probably get the number one pick somehow. I don't know, but I'll tune in just to see where Zach goes. But after that, I could really care less. I know you'll be interested to see where Terrence Shannon Jr. goes, which I saw that Illinois is going to put his jersey in the rafters.
Yeah, and it's a smart move, because if he didn't have the bogus accusations over his head, he would have been easily a first team All-American, which is what stipulations to have your number in the rafters. I mean, Io DeSumo was one, Kofi Coburn, and now Terrence Shannon, who was, I think he was a third team All-American, but he would have been a surefire. He was second best player in the country. I don't think anyone can really argue with me, especially at the end of the year.
Tennessee fans would. They would argue.
Tennessee fans are the dumbest fan base in all of college.
I'm not disagreeing with you absolutely at all on that, but they would argue with it.
They'd absolutely argue. I'm glad Josh Whitman is making an exception for a guy who had arguably the best year any player's ever had. He missed 6 games, and he still scored more points than any player in the history of Illinois basketball in a season.
Yep.
And the way, especially the way he played at the end of the year, I mean, he averaged 34 points a game in the Big Ten tournament. He played three games, and he was 1 point shy of the all-time Big Ten tourney record, which was held by, I think, Keegan Murray, who played four games. Hmm. And then he was fantastic the first three rounds of the NCAA tournament. So, whoops, I just knocked my computer. I'm very happy to see his jersey get raised like it should.
Now, does Illinois retire numbers? Because I know Purdue does not retire numbers, but if, like you just said with Illinois, if they make an All-American, I think Purdue even puts first, second, or third team, I believe, up in the rafters, I believe.
No, they don't retire. I mean, there's been so many guys that have worn number 11 D. Brown. I mean, none of them have been any good besides Io.
Right.
He was the only one to live up to, and he was a better player than D. Brown, but they had guys like Aaron Cosby wore number 11. You had a couple guys wear five that just weren't worthy of wearing number five.
Oh, yeah. Same happened at Purdue.
Which made a lot of people mad that they were allowed to wear those numbers. But it'd be so tough.
The weird thing for Purdue, and I actually have my T-shirt on. I got a 13. It's kind of faded, but 13 Glenn Robinson T-shirt. And Glenn's still the last player. I mean, he graduated 90, or didn't graduate. He left Purdue 94. Nobody's wore 13 since then.
Interesting.
John Wooden wore it back in the day, but I mean, if that's the case, though, then if you're going to go off that, then nobody should wear 15 for a long time.
Absolutely.
Well, there should have been nobody should have wore 15 in football after Drew Brees, and they screwed that up very quick. Well, Sean Phillips wore it 1 year. He changed. He wore three different numbers in 4 years at Purdue. He was worthy because he was a great defensive end at Purdue. Mm-hmm. But after that, nobody worth a darn's. Okay. I'm backtracking. Charlie Jones was 15 the 1 year at Purdue. But you know what I'm trying to say. Nobody that was Drew Brees worthy.
No one will ever be Drew Brees worthy.
No. Even though Charlie was an All-American.
He was good. But
he was a one and done. I forgot that he wore 15. But there's been others I could name, and I won't, that had no business wearing 15.
It's tough to do in college because you'll eventually run out of numbers because, I mean, you have 85 players on the team in football. I mean, there's 85 numbers there.
True. Now in college basketball, they can wear whatever number they want now. It's the NBA rule. Purdue's got walk-ons wearing 7 and 9 this year.
Yeah. I never understood why they couldn't before.
I thought it was maybe just because the refs, it was harder. It's more difficult for them to signal the fouls, but that's the only thing I could ever think of. I mean, besides that, I have no idea. Because I guess 7, you have to go 5 plus 2, 7. We're just 7. I don't know.
Just hold up. Yeah. 7. They could also walk over to the scorer's table and tell the score. Yeah,
that's the only thing I could ever think of. I'm probably way off. There's probably some other reason for it. But
I mean, you might be right. Knowing officials and how lazy they are.
Well, it's just like the NFL for years. Like running backs couldn't wear single digit numbers. Now they can.
Yeah, now they can wear whatever. I mean, offensive linemen were usually, I mean, they're in the 50s, but usually they were 60, 70, 90, not even 90.
60s and 70s. Yep.
Defensive linemen could really only be 90s or, in the 50s. But now they can wear what it is jarring to see like a defensive back wear number 4 and like a wide receiver wear a single, anyone besides quarterback wearing single digit or kicker punter. It was kind of jarring at first. I've gotten used to it.
Yeah. And like in the NFL, you don't really see any punters wearing like 99 like you will in college.
Yeah.
Or kickers wearing 97 or something like that. I mean, so
remember Devin Gardner, he was number 98 for Michigan. Back when Michigan was tolerable because they were losing.
Yep. Now they're
national champs. I have Gary Parrish, not a fan, but I do have his mock draft pulled up, which he updated today, five hours ago. He has three Big Ten guys in his first round. He has Khalil Ware going to New Orleans at 21. He has Zach Edey going to the Knicks at 24 and Terrence Shannon Jr. going to the Knicks at 25.
Oh, man. I don't want to have to kind of like the Knicks.
but again, how many times are guys drafted and they put on the hat even though they know they've already been traded.
All the time. All the time.
That's one of the dumbest shticks they do in the NBA draft.
Yep. It is wild to me that do you think we ever will see a day where the NBA draft expands to more than 60 picks or more than two rounds?
It used to be. It used to be, I don't know how many rounds it used to be. I don't think so. I mean, you get how many undrafted guys usually pan out? I mean,
that's a good point.
They usually have to go to Europe for a few years and then they come back and they're a much better player, even the G League. One thing they're doing, I think
second round guys don't pan out too
often. Not very often. One thing I think they are doing that I think is stupid is they have the first round Wednesday night at 7. The second round's at 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
Really? I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah.
They're not just doing it all in one night anymore?
Like they used to. Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they switched it up this year for some reason.
Nobody's going to watch that at 3 p.m. on a Thursday, the second round. That is dumb. That is really dumb. Where they got to put it on NBA TV?
Now I am the 26th and 27th. So, the first round. So that would make it, the second round. I haven't. Yeah, I saw it on Twitter today. Again, take that with a grain of salt. Thursday, June 27th at 4 Eastern, second round.
Is it literally on NBA TV?
It's on ESPN.
Oh, that surprises me because 4 o'clock.
First round's on ABC and ESPN, and the second round's on ESPN. Why? Just do it all
that
in one
night. Really dumb.
It doesn't take that much time. It's not the NFL.
No. I mean, you're up till probably about midnight watching the second round, but it's all done. It's all done one night. It's not like the NFL one that used to last forever and ever. So
the first round the NFL lasts forever and ever.
It does. It does.
I watch every pick though.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So yeah, I don't have much else on the NBA.
I'm gonna do a book of prediction just for the sake of doing a book of prediction. I think both Zach Edey and Terrence Shannon are taken in the top 20. That's my book of prediction of the week.
It'll frustrate me, and I know I'm NBA scouts and teams think way different than me. It'll frustrate me if Quill Ware goes before those two.
Yeah. He was solid.
I'm sure he'll be a pretty good pro, but
I know it's all about projections and all of that, but sometimes you got to look at production. I mean, Zach Edey, you can't teach 7'4", 300 pounds with that sort of agility. And I mean, especially if he's going to start shooting the three ball a little bit. And his 7'11" wingspan, that's absurd.
And I could be wrong, but I think he's the type of kid that, you know, once he gets that paycheck, I don't think he's going to be satisfied. I think he'll keep working at it to try to be the best he can. And now, you know, we talk about NIL all the time. Kids are getting paychecks in college anyways from NIL. So when they get one in the pros, it might not be that big of a – it will be a larger sum of money, but it might not be that big of a
life-changing sort of deal.
Yeah, life-changing event. And I did see, and I'm sure you saw, you know, I think it was in our group text that, Zach Edey got a, sponsorship deal with KFC. The commercial debuted during the finals, which was cool because being a foreign player, he couldn't get anything like that in college. He just still did mighty well for himself, but he could not get any like company deals with American companies. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And then, as far as Shannon goes, I mean, he's the one man fast break. He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen on the fast break. He's got an NBA body, NBA athleticism, and most projections. And I saw an Illinois insider said that a lot of NBA people have told the Illinois staff 15 to 25, he'll be taken.
Yeah.
They also said the same thing about Io DeSumo when he fell to early in the second round. He's done very well for himself. Right. But again, they look at projection more than they do production. And sometimes you got to look at the production. If a guy's not – I mean, you look at the idiot Bulls taking Patrick Williams 4th overall just because, oh, man, athleticism. Look at this upside.
Iris Thomas 2nd overall.
Yeah. 8 points a game at Florida State his freshman year. Hasn't done anything in the NBA. He's been an absolute bust and can't stay healthy for one. But, look at production as well.
Yep.
So that's all I got.
Who's your – Who's your book?
Prediction of the week is sponsored by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watring for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watring@infb.com.
Yes, sir. Do you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
All right. We bring up the on this day sporting events that have happened on June 24th throughout the history of time and space. On this day in 1882, the National League expelled umpire Richard Hyman, from baseball for dishonesty after his links with gambling on games are confirmed.
Guys are still getting busted for gambling.
I'm back. My Wi-Fi froze for a second. Okay.
I was wondering what happened to you.
On this day in 1922, the American Professional Football Association was renamed to the National Football League.
The name has stuck.
Also on this day, 1922, the charter NFL club, the Chicago Staleys, renamed to the Chicago Bears by team founder, owner, and head coach, Papa Bear himself, George Halas.
I saw today that there's momentum for the Arlington Heights facility. The whole thing with the downtown and the public funding was all just a ploy. It was a leverage technique to leverage Arlington.
It seems like that's in the news every other week almost.
No. Kevin Warren, that's fine. Bears fans are finally realizing why we hated him so much.
Yep. On this day, 1930, ground was broken for construction of Cleveland Stadium, which was the home of the MLB's Cleveland Indians from 1932 to 1993 and the Browns from 1946 to 1995. Mm-hmm. On this day, 1947, future Baseball Hall of Famer Jackie Robinson stole home for the first of 19 times in his career as the Dodgers beat the Pirates 4-2. That's gotta be a record, or does Henderson have it for the most time stealing home?
It's gotta be Jackie.
Probably 19. It's pretty crazy.
That's a lot of, especially straight steals of home.
Right. On the day 1962, outfielder Jack Reed hit his only MLB home run in the 22nd inning as the Yankees beat the Tigers 9-7 in the slowest extra inning game in league history. The game lasts 7 hours.
Oh, man. It'd be brutal.
Wow. Speaking of Ricky Henderson, on this day, 1979, he debuted for Oakland and stole his first base.
I got a funny Ricky Henderson story that I saw the other day. It was Ricky used to speak in first person or third person. Either way, he'd always say, Ricky does this, Ricky does that. And somebody was talking about the Bible verse, John 3:16, and Ricky goes, Ricky don't care about no John hitting 3:16, Ricky hitting 3:20.
That's an all-time classic.
Yeah.
Other than 1983, Don Sutton became the eighth pitcher to strike out 3,000 batters.
He was going.
On the day 1984, Joe Morgan set the then career home run mark for second baseman with home run number 265.
I hated Joe Morgan.
Now, I saw somebody say he and who did he used to do Sunday night games with on TV?
John Miller.
Yeah, that they were the best.
John Miller was fantastic. Hearing his voice, it's like nostalgic after watching Sunday night baseball growing up. Could not stand Joe Morgan. There's just something about him. He hated the Cubs for one. I mean, he played for the Reds. That makes sense. He hated Ryan Sandberg for reasons that I don't understand. But
a nice statue of Rhino.
Yeah.
Outside Wrigley. It looks really good. On this day in 1987, the minor league Salt Lake City Trappers began their pro baseball record 29 consecutive game win streak.
Wow.
The Trappers.
Who knew Utah did baseball well?
We'll see if they do hockey well next year.
Yeah.
Most boring jerseys I've ever seen.
I haven't even seen them. I'm sure.
I think their name, it might just be for 1 year, but I think their name's like Utah Hockey Club or something dumb, kind of like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
On this day in 1992, who was the first pick in the NBA draft?
92?
Yep.
Is that Larry Johnson?
He was 91.
Oh, shoot.
92 was Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm.
To the Orlando Magic.
He had a pretty good career.
Yeah, not too bad. On this day in 1995, who won the Stanley Cup?
Detroit Red Wings.
They lost. They lost to the Devils 5-2 in a 4-0 series sweep.
Game 7's tonight, right?
Yes.
Oilers, yes. Florida Panthers. Panthers were up 3-0.
Yeah. It's either going to be the ultimate choke job or slash ultimate comeback, or it's just going to be, the Panthers survived.
I usually don't root for Canada in anything.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for Edmonton because all the Dolphins beat writers are such big Florida Panthers fans, and they were so cocky.
Yeah.
After they won game 3, they're like, it's like Adam Beasley. I don't know if you've seen him on Twitter or whatever. He's a Dolphins beat writer that is a huge Florida Panthers fan. And he was so arrogant. I can't believe that they're letting this team that love in a country that loves hockey lose to the Florida Panthers. We're like the best run organization. And I'm just like, I'm rooting for Edmonton. I hope it happens.
I guess a lot of Canadian fans, you'd think they'd be rooting for Edmonton because no Canadian team has won the cup since the 93 Montreal Canadiens. But I guess a lot of them are not rooting for
Edmonton. I would be right there with them rooting against Edmonton if I was a fan of like Calgary.
Because I think they all, want to be the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the rest. So, yeah, 7 of the 30 teams in the NHL are Canadian teams.
Yeah. And this would be the 5th time ever in the NHL that a team has come back from 3-0.
5th time? Okay.
It has never happened in the NBA. Mm. And it's only happened, I think, once in Major League Baseball.
Who was that?
I'm pretty sure it was the Red Sox over the Yankees.
Oh, I thought you meant the World Series.
No.
Sorry, in the World Series.
Yeah. Unless there was another 3-0. I'm pretty sure I saw there was only happened one time.
Yeah, I knew it happened in the 04 ALCS. Yeah, but I thought you meant the World Series. My bad.
No, it's never happened in the World Series. Cubs were down 3-1. That I can remember.
I don't ever recall a 3-0 in our lifetime.
I just need to remember what I see on Twitter. So I have the full scope of things. But I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
On this day, 1997, despite an AL record 19 strikeout performance by the big unit, Randy Johnson, Oakland A's first baseman Mark McGwire hit a 538-foot home run in the A's 4-1 defeat of the Seattle Mariners.
Man, bring back the juice. Bring it back.
No kidding, right?
The Houston Astros are leading Major League Baseball with a .261 collective batting average.
Where's my trash can?
That was the average for every major league team, like the average batting average back in like 2007 was .261. And now the team with the best batting average in baseball is .261. I don't know what they do to stop it, but either get better hitters or move the mound back a little bit.
Yep. There, Commissioner J-Man says so.
Yeah.
Who was the number one pick in the NBA draft on this day, 1998?
98? That wasn't Tim Duncan, was he?
He was 97.
97. 1 year off.
Yep.
It wasn't Elton Brand. I think he was 2000. Give me the college this guy went to.
Pacific.
That doesn't help me at all.
I know. That was going to be my next question after this was, where did he go to college?
Pacific? I don't know.
Yeah. Michael Oldowa Candy by the Clippers.
I remember him. Couldn't tell you.
Candyman, he was not good. Yeah.
Couldn't have told you he played at Pacific that he was the number one overall pick.
I looked that up earlier today. I was just curious, like, where number one picks went to college. I'm like, Pacific? What? Wonder how far they got in the NCAA tournament, assuming they made the NCAA tournament in 98.
Or assuming they were D1 back in 98.
That's true. Gosh, if not, he must have been something. Who was the number one pick in the NBA draft on this day in 2004?
04 was Bogut was 05. 2003 was LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
2004. Why am I not? I can get the years around. Will you give me? I have no idea.
Dwight Howard.
Oh.
From Southwest Atlanta Christian Academy. Everybody thought it was going to be Mecca Okafor. Hmm. He went number two to the Lions.
Pacific went 6-26 this past year. 0-16 in their conference, whatever that is. Well, they were division 1998. They made the tournament in 97. They went 23-10 in 98.
Okay.
And did not make the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, losing 10 games. Michael Olowokandi, 22 points a game, 11 rebounds, 7 in the days where you took back to the basket bigs and all
that. Yeah. On this day, I forgot about this, so I read it. Now I refresh my memory. On this day, 2010, the longest match in tennis history, American John Isner defeated Nicholas Mahut of France at Wimbledon after 11 hours and 5 minutes of play over 3 days.
I'm pretty sure we watched some of that together because for whatever reason, I remember we watched at my house. We went to get food, and then we went to your house and turned on the TV, and the match was still on.
Well, was it Isner and Illini?
I have no idea. I can look it up. I
think he was.
He was tall, right? He's like 6'9".
Yeah, I think he was, but I could be wrong. There was a Caucasian American dude around that time that was from Illinois on the
Georgia.
Good one, Tanner. On this day, 2010, who was the number one pick in the NBA draft?
2010, number one. That was John Wall.
John Wall. Okay. On this day, 2013, who won the Stanley Cup?
Was it the Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks defeat the Bruins 3-2 for the 4-2 series victory. That was their fifth championship, and they haven't really done anything since.
No.
On this day in 2017, a world record for highest altitude football match ever was played at 18,799 feet on Mount Kilimanjaro by the women's international team. That's all it says. That doesn't give me a lot of details, but okay.
Do you see they're having some American football thing. It's not an Olympic thing, but like different countries are playing each other. And I want to say the Canadians, somebody beat Brazil 110-0. The Canadians beat somebody like 84-6. It was like, it's like maybe the Olympics are not ready for football.
Wow. And on this day last year, the Angels hit home runs on three consecutive pitches in a 25-1 win over the Rockies.
I remember that game. It's usually Shohei Ohtani hits four homers. Mike Trout goes 6-for-6 as the
Trout
Angels
was
lose.
One of the three. Trout, eight Drury, and Matt Thaiss.
Thaiss.
That's going to do it for on this day. A decent list this week,
yeah.
Which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or a man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. And I know for a fact that Thad is working hard on his signs. He FaceTimed me last night because he has been working on a sign for myself and my wife as a late wedding present from him. And I got some proof here. There's one angle of the sign that he's working on. Nice. And here's another angle.
Cool.
So, yeah. Yeah. So he does great work. Hit him up. Let him know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. And like I said, you will get 15% off your first sign order.
Yes, sir.
All right, J-Man. I think I should let you vent a little bit.
Before I vent, why don't I get to my pick six? I kind of forgot about pick six. The NBA Finals was ended on whatever day that was last week.
Seems like a long time ago.
It does. Boston Celtics winning over the Dallas Mavericks. So starting with the MVP of that series, Jaylen Brown.
I mean, he's a stud. He was a stud in college. He's a stud now. He's going to be stud for Celtics for a long time. Him and Tatum, they're going to build around those guys. They're going to be solid for the next 5 to 6 years. Even though I thought he'd be a good pro, he's better than I even thought he was going to be. So quicker.
There's always people talking that he can't go left. Who cares?
He's still getting 29-30 game in the finals.
He's been very good. Yeah. Jason Tatum.
Yeah, another one. I mean, I could say the same thing pretty much for Brown that I do Tatum. I mean, Boston, how lucky are they to get these two guys? How lucky were they to get Tatum on draft night?
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown. I think it was the draft before.
Yeah, so back-to-back years. I mean, Brad Stevens now is clicking the right buttons. I mean, he did it as head coach. Now he's doing that GM. And like I said, they're going to be either front runners or right there in that mix of top three of the East for next six to 8 years probably.
Tatum's celebrations were very stupid. He tried to copy KG, then he tried to copy Kobe, then he tried to copy Steph, and it was just very cringeworthy. So next time, be a little more natural there, Tatum.
Yeah, I guess we got to give him a pass for it being his first. But
I guess. Now, last Boston Celtic here, their head coach, Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, I remember him, West Virginia.
Glue guy.
He was glue guy starter, but wasn't a pro by any means, but he took over a very tough situation in Boston, and he was the right man to do it. So he's young. He's got a bright, bright future ahead of him in the NBA, for sure.
Yeah, he was on a good West Virginia team that their best – was it Deshaun Butler? Was that his name?
Torres ACL.
In the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Final Four. Huggins – it was in Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
Huggins came out and literally hugged him on the ground. It was really awkward.
Last NBA one here, J.J. Redick.
He is not doing his podcast anymore. He made that clear in his introductory press conference as the Los Angeles Lakers' new head coach. Yes, the Lakers went and hired a coach who has never coached at any level, let alone NBA.
He
coached at a level?
He was a volunteer fourth grade coach last year at a boys' school.
I went 1-2 as a fifth grade head coach when I was a sophomore in high school. Am I qualified to coach the Lakers?
Yeah.
Let's go. I'll coach LeBron up. But I can't wait to watch this crash and burn. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fascinating. It's just, man, like how many coaching scenarios are just fascinating in the world of sports right now? Like Deion Sanders coaching Colorado. And now we got J.J. Redick. What's some other ones? Baseball with Tony La Russa a few years ago with the White Sox. They don't really have one I can think of right now. But
No, not really.
I don't think the NFL is anything crazy. Jeff Saturday interim with Colts.
That was pretty crazy. Other than that, though, there's not really.
Yeah.
JJ, obviously very good basketball mind.
Oh, sure. But
sure, he was a pretty good leader in his playing days. But
yeah, I just don't see it working out.
How many coaches is LeBron going to go through before he's like, hey, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm the problem.
He's more Jackie Moon now than he's ever been.
Yeah. And now he got this whole situation with the son. Where's he going to end up? And
could be LA.
It's just pathetic.
Yep.
Switching gears a little bit to the NFL, Aaron Rodgers.
Been tired of that dude for years. Yep. Show up and practice.
Yep.
Come on. It's mandatory. You're not above the team, Aaron, especially when you missed all last year besides three plays.
Yep.
And everything depends on you. Go and get your chemistry with your new teammates. Yep. Grow up, be a veteran, be a solid example for your own teammates.
Yeah. He's always been only about Aaron his entire career. No wonder his own family doesn't even like him.
Yep.
So, he goes on vacation. I mean, he knew when mandatory minicamp was, and he decided to book a vacation or do whatever during that time. So
they're not making the playoffs. You heard it here first.
June 24th. I am so hoping they go like 4-13 or something like that, because I don't root for injury on anyone, but I will laugh hysterically if he blows out his Achilles week one. And then one baseball one here, Edwin Diaz. I don't know if you saw this last night.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I one of my other podcasts, my co-host had on in the background, and he kept doing this. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm watching Cub game. This dude just came out and has tons of crap all over his all over his hand. And yeah, he was coated. There was no an idiot.
Yeah, he said that he told the ump, smell my hand, there's nothing on it. You can clearly see there is nothing on it. The funniest thing is, why did he think he needed to cheat against that terrible offense on the north side of Chicago? Got a 10-game suspension today, too. So they're really cracking down.
Yep. So, yeah, the Mets are going to met. Just love it. Just when they start playing a little bit, something like that happens.
Yeah.
Something like that happens. So, that Moody on LeBron James, he's one step behind Jackie. He doesn't have the hit single. Oh, don't say that, Thad. He'll come out with some hit single like Shaq did back in the day. So,
yeah.
But good list, Jay, man. Good mix of lists there, which it's brought to you by Legos every week. Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Zwijnsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Now it's baseball time. I mentioned this earlier that the Astros are leading Major League Baseball, at least when I saw the tweet, they were hitting 261. And so MLB teams hitting at least 260 since 1998. In 98, we had 20 teams, 99, 25, 24, 21, 17, 21, 22, 20, 24, 22, 21. This is in 2008. Everyone had at least. Or 20 teams hit at least 260. 2009 had a little bit of a drop, where only 18 teams, but then steep drop from 2009 to 2010. 11 teams hit 260 in 2010, 8 teams in 2011, 11 teams in 12, 9 in 13, only 4 teams in 2014, 7 teams in 2015, 8 teams in 2016, 17 and 19, 6 teams in 2020, 3 teams in 2021, 1 team in 2022, 2 teams in 2023, and 1 team so far this year. That's an issue.
Big time.
You can speed the game up as much as you want, but people want offense. And I know guys are throwing harder than they ever have before. They're spinning the ball faster than they ever have before as far as RPMs go, and it's making it hard to hit, significantly harder to hit, which is their job, to make it harder to hit. It's an issue. I mean, games are becoming boringer, even though they're quicker. And
is that
I think
a word, boringer?
It is tonight.
All right.
I think MLB continues to mess with the baseballs too. We've seen so many balls hit this year with, a certain launch angle, certain exit velocity that usually leave the ballpark, and they're falling short of the warning track. So I think Major League Baseball continues to mess with the baseballs. You're looking at the Southern League in double A, guys are hitting 230 and they're hitting 40% above league average. So they're messing with the balls in the Southern League as well. Have one consistent baseball. You don't need to juice the baseball. They juiced the baseball in 2019, and guys like Scooter Jeanette, I don't know if Scooter hit 30 homers, but I feel like he hit 30 homers that year. You had so many guys hitting 30 homers in 2019 when they juiced the ball, and now it's almost like we're back in the dead ball era, and it's not great. But as far as the league goes, the Cubs suck. There's no
other way. Won a series, J-Mac. They won a series.
They won their first series since Mother's Day this past week, and then they followed it up. They had a chance to win 3 in a row, and they end up losing 11-1 on Friday. They end up winning on Saturday with their first win by more than 3 runs. And, like, man, since my daughter was born, it felt like. And they followed it up last night, losing by three, including Edwin Diaz gets kicked out in the ninth. And so a guy comes in cold, hadn't warmed up, hadn't thrown a pitch, and the Cubs do absolutely nothing. Ian Happ swings up the first pitch, pops out, strikeout looking. It's a whole bunch of crap. And I don't know how they fix it. Jed Hoyer needs to go. I mean, I've been on that train even last year. I know they got back in it last year, and it kind of quieted things down a little bit, but then he rolled back the same team. As I've said, I say the same stuff about the Cubs every single week. They roll back the same team, and they need to hit at this almost 100 percentile of what they could be, and none of those guys are living up to the bill.
There you go, J-Man. I got a banner there for you with your hashtag.
Let me see it here. Fire Jed. Hashtag Fire Jed. Yep. That's about all I'm tweeting these days. He needs to go. The hitting coach, they've been through so many hitting coaches the past 5 years. Something is philosophically wrong with the Chicago Cubs organization and their offense, because the offense broke in 2018 and it hasn't been fixed since. They had an OPS in April of almost 850 as a team. Since then, they're dead last by like 30 points, hitting with an OPS of 527 as a team. It's bad. It is very, very bad in the north side of Chicago. They are hitting 187 with runners in scoring position since April 27th. That's over 30 points lower than the next closest team, which is the Oakland Athletics. If you can be on a list with this Oakland Athletics team, not great there, and be worse than the Oakland Athletics. Cody Bellinger's been mediocre. Ian Happ has been streaky. He'll carry you for a week, and then he'll go 0 for 25. Miguel Amaya, 50% below league average hitter. Michael Busch has been fantastic. He had a little lull there after his homer binge in the first couple weeks of the year. But, again, he's a rookie. He's at 260, 355, 456. He is by far their best hitter, and he's looking like a future guy they can build around. Nico Horner's having his worst year of his career since 2020. Dansby Swanson, again, he's having a worse offensive year than any of Jason Hayward's, and their contracts were comparable. Christopher Morel looks like he's starting to turn it around a little bit, but again, he's 4% below league average hitter, and he's hit fourth for you on most days. Cody Bellinger's been okay. He's not slugging. Seiya Suzuki's been okay. He's not really slugging. Pete Crow Armstrong, their top prospect. People are all over him because he hasn't really hit, which he hasn't yet. I mean, he's 47% below league average hitter. He's 22 years old, playing the entire – he doesn't turn 23 till March of next year. His value will always be more so what he does outside of the batter's box. He needs to hit a little bit. I mean, that's obvious. But he is tied for the major league lead in defensive runs saved by a center fielder while playing 150 innings less than any other team or any other player in the top 12. He's 13 for 13 on steals. He is the second fastest sprint speed of any player in Major League Baseball. He has an insane amount of value, and if he can just provide a little offense, he is going to be an absolute stud. Hasn't happened yet, but again, only 22 years old, and he only has 118 plate appearances this year. Not giving up on him like some idiots are. Their bench is terrible. Patrick Wisdom's hitting 200. David Bodie is David Bodie. Miles Mastroboni's 5 for 42. That sounds like my junior year of high school. they cut Yan Gomes, which is good. A 36-year-old catcher. They signed Thomas Nito, who has played two games. He's 1 for 5 with a double and an RBI, and he has been by far the most valuable catcher the Cubs have had this year, and he's only played two games. That's how bad the catching spot was. Bullpen is absolutely garbage. Hector Neris came in. They were up 3 in the 8th. Mark Leiter Jr. gives up a homer. Hector Neris comes in, gives up I think he hit a guy or in a there was a catcher's interference. Then gives up a 3-run homer. Cubs loser. They would have swept that San Francisco Giants series. Hayden Wesneski's terrible. Leiter Jr. is now on the injured list. Drew Smyly's been okay. Keegan Thompson okay. Tyson Miller's been their best reliever, which is bad considering he's throwing 88 miles an hour. Starting pitching has been pretty good. Shota Imanaga got absolutely lit up on Friday, which that's going to happen. I mean, you can't really fault a guy when he'd been so good. Javier Assad, the league's starting to catch up to him. Jameson Taillon's been pretty good. Justin Steele's been great. It's bad. There's really no hope. I mean, you have this farm system that is a top 2 to 3 farm system in Major League Baseball. None of those guys project a superstar. So you don't have a Chris Bryant walking through that door, and Anthony Rizzo walking through that door, or Javi Baez. And Jed continues to sit on his hands with all this farm system depth. They have a ton of depth in the farm system. You need to trade some of that depth for Major League caliber stars, and they have enough to do it, and Jed just hasn't done it. And here he is waiting for some of these guys to get to the big leagues, and they're not going to be superstars, and that's an issue. I mean, you look at the teams that are really freaking good in baseball this year. The New York Yankees, second best record in the league. They have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, bona fide superstars. The Baltimore Orioles have Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, a slew of other dudes that are really good, very good. Cleveland Guardians, almost said Indians, but I didn't. Guardians, Jose Ramirez, star. Kansas City Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., star. Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce Harper, star. Trey Turner, I know he's hurt, star. Atlanta Braves, Matt Olson and Austin Riley, and I know Acuna Jr.'s hurt, stars. Milwaukee Brewers are one of the only exceptions to the rule. They don't have really a superstar. Christian Yelich is good. He's not a superstar anymore. Same with Seattle Mariners because they pitch well. Dodgers, Otani, star. If you want to be good, you need superstars, and the Cubs have a bunch of Robins and no Batman.
I like that analogy.
I can't take credit. Stole from somebody on the Twitter. It's a mess there on the north side, and this is who they are. I don't see a hot streak happening like they had last year, which is kind of interesting because right around the same time is when they got hot, because they went and took 2 or 3 in San Francisco, which they do play in San Francisco in the night, 3 or 4. And I'm fully expecting them to lose, or they play 4 games. I'm fully expecting them to lose 3 or 4, if not get swept. And honestly, it might be for the best if they get swept. Just end it early.
No fake rally this year.
No fake rally this year. No reason to get my hopes up. And come trade deadline season, they'll be technically sellers, but they don't have anyone to sell is the issue. Seiya Suzuki's contract is unsellable. Same with Ian Happ because of his no trade clause. Cody Bellinger has a bunch of opt-outs, which means he has no value. Dansby Swanson, no one wants that atrocious contract. Pitching-wise, no one wants Tyone's contract. And Madonna has a bunch of opt-outs, so there's no hope there. Hector Neris is walking 7 batters per 9 innings. Drew Smiley's getting paid $10 million this year as a 35-year-old to be mop-up duty.
Oh, he's smiling.
The only guy that might have some interest from somebody, Patrick Wisdom, could have some interest because he has some power. He's a bad hitter, though. Mike Tauchman's on the injured list now. He could interest somebody as a fourth outfielder type, but it's not like you're going to trade some of these guys and get any good prospects back. So why not just buy now for the future? That's what I say. The problem is I don't want Jed being the one making those decisions. We'll see where we're at next week as their West Coast. They have 4 in San Francisco and 4 in Milwaukee. So it could be over by Monday. And then they have the Phillies for 4. So we could be looking at a 12. They could literally be on a 12-game losing streak by
they won't
by July 5th.
So they're gonna win 8 of 12 and reel you right back in.
If they win 8 of 12, the podcast after that, I'm gonna have my chest painted on the show.
Oh, I'm not rooting for them to win 8 of 12 then.
No. So yeah. Hit me with that birdie bogey.
Yes, sir. There are 6 teams in the NBA that have never held the number 1 pick in the NBA draft. Can you name at least 4 of those teams?
I know the Pacers never have because it seems like we talk about it a bunch.
Correct.
I want to say we've also mentioned the Miami Heat for that as well.
You are correct.
I'm just looking from the past 20 years, and I'm guessing some of these teams I haven't had. I don't think the Nuggets have.
Correct. One more for a par.
Man, I have no idea. I know. Well, no, because it's Utah.
You got yourself a par.
I don't even have a guess after that. Lakers?
Lakers have... they have had twice. Elgin Baylor, 58.
Magic.
Magic, and then James Worthy, actually, three times.
The idiot. One, if I get one more, I'll get a birdie.
Yep.
The Bulls have definitely had it. A couple times. Portland has Sam Bowie. I'm just going to throw out a team. Boston Celtics.
A really good guess. Boston's had it one time, 1950, and Charlie Scheer. So you get a par, my friend. If you would have went with the Grizzlies or the Thunder, you would have got a birdie.
Thunder and Grizzlies haven't been around that long, and they've both been really bad. I wouldn't even think of them. So. Yep.
Good job.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode.